Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life with Paul
and Jeannie
and all of you. So please send in all your names so that we can add them on. That would be funny, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. There goes our 10 minutes reading names. But a couple of names that I think you know very well by now, especially if you've been listening lately, is the name Nicodemus. Mm-hmm. Jeannie calls him Nick. They're on a first name basis. And also, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And last time we were together, we dipped our toes into the wonderful pool of John chapter 3, verse 16. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this or not, but we went to a pastor's conference some years back. And I got a big kick out of the fact that we were assigned our room, and we went to our room, and it was room 316.
Yes, I remember that.
And we just had a lot of fun talking about that.
Right.
You know, the Lord put us in room 316. So.
Right.
Anyway.
It's hard to resist love. You know, people have so many emotions that come up when you talk about God. And depending on people's experience, their lack of knowledge, the lies that they've grabbed a hold of, that the enemy whispered in their ears about what God's like, you know.
Yes.
It can be a real shocker to part all that and say, the reason why he came is because he loves you. And if that can sink into somebody's soul,
yeah,
they can find freedom and find that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's usually a smokescreen that the enemy has put on their heart. To resist the idea that God would love them, either because of what decision they came to, conclusion they came to of what God's character is like, faulty, or because they feel unworthy of someone loving them to that degree.
Yeah. Wow. So, like that's a very interesting and beautiful way to put it. That it's coming, God's coming at you with love. So to deny him and his salvation is to deny love from God.
Right.
Well, that's painful. Painful yeah. thought, too, at the same time.
So moving forward with this verse, I love because people will quote John 3:16, but they won't quote 3:17. And I think 3:17 is a backdrop exclamation of why people need to be rescued.
But
you know, and you can't you can't be rescued from something if you don't realize you need to be rescued.
Yeah.
So you first have to come to that realization.
Yeah. You're on the Titanic.
It is going down, but you still want to party and dance and eat the buffet, you know, and not realizing that it's going to go down. And if you want to be saved, you need to get into those lifeboats before it actually happens. So before you take your last breath, before your life is over, you need to realize that you need to be saved. You need to get in that lifeboat.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully you realize that way before your last breath so you can enjoy having relationships.
And have
with
a life of true meaning.
Yes.
Eternal meaning, eternal value to what you say and do and how you live. Sure.
You know, I think the perspective, we've talked about this before, but I don't think we can talk about it enough, that when people come at God in their own life and planet Earth and what's going on from the perspective of, this should be heaven.
Yeah.
You know, if God's good, why would we have all these troubles?
Right.
You know, this is supposed to be heaven. That's a faulty premise. It's not.
This is not heaven. It never was. It's not going
to
be.
Right. Now, we can have heavenly moments because God gives us these good gifts and we get to experience his love and purpose.
And his creation.
Right. Yeah, and see him use us. But as far as the evil that goes on in this world, those that refuse to come into God's presence and give themselves over to him, that's all around us.
Yes.
And that's the outcome of all that is we see the world just being in such a condemned place, like you said, with the Titanic going down. So Jesus says in verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Now, he's addressing those folks that have believed the lie, God is just out to get me. Oh, he's going to point out all my sin and he's going to condemn me. And, you know, they have that faulty premise again. Right. So he's addressing that. He said, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world.
Yeah.
But in order that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. So we have no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. They're not condemned. But whoever does not believe, does not get in the lifeboat, does not accept the life preserver,
right?
Then it says that whoever does not believe is condemned already. They're already on a condemned earth.
Yes. And so, born in a fallen world, in a fallen state. World. That's right.
Right. So whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So that perspective is so, so huge. And so when you realize that you're living in a world that is not heaven, but it is fallen, and yet you can have good in it because of your relationship with God and the relationship you have with others and all that, but the world is basically condemned.
Yes.
And that changes our viewpoint of, I need God to save me. I need God to rescue me. I need God to bring his love into my circumstances in my life.
I need to get into lifeboat Jesus.
Right.
That's right. How I'll be saved.
Right. And then eventually we will get in that boat and drift out, and we will see the whole world go down just like the boat sank.
Wow.
It will. Jesus said that someday this was going to be wrapped up like a, does it say like wrapped up like a cloth or whatever?
Yeah. And well, he did say heaven and earth will pass away.
Right, right. So it's like someone says, well, I don't want it. That's negative. Well, do you want to have truth and have a correct perspective of your life while it's here so that you can get what you need? Or do you want to live in a fairy tale and be mad at God and be mad every time something goes wrong as if you're surprised?
Yeah.
Don't be surprised. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world because he's come to rescue us.
Yeah. That line of thinking that you were just talking about does you no good. Doesn't change anything.
No, it doesn't change anything. Just creates a bitter, hateful attitude.
Yeah. So
resentful.
Yeah. Let's go back to the lifeboat again. So you're on the Titanic. It's going down. It's burning in flames. You can either stand there and say, I paid so much money for this ticket, you know?
I deserve to have the full ride.
I deserve to have the full ride. And how dare this, you know, the captain, he ran into, you know.
Ruined my dream.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's Jesus in a lifeboat saying, hello.
Come on.
Come on. The things that we would even suffer here are not worthy to be compared to the glory that we'll see in heaven and that will be revealed in us. That's the plan.
Right, right. So again, this part of the verse that says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, because we come into that place of having forgiveness and there's no condemnation. But whoever does not believe is condemned already because the world is condemned.
Right.
We're living in a condemned world.
Yes.
So, and it's our choice. So do we have time with the next verse or should we wait?
I'll give you 35 seconds.
Okay, I'm gonna read it and then we'll talk about it next time. And verse 19, Jesus goes on to say, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. That's him. And the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is right comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God.
We need to talk about that, don't we?
Yes.
Because we want the whole picture.
We want correct perspective.
Yes.
Why don't people turn to the Lord? That's a big question.
Yes.
Could they be hiding something?
Father, thank you for this time and for allowing us to have another day of devotion to you. And I pray, Father, that we continue to grow in our faith and in our returning love to you that you have so freely given to us. Lord, I pray for anybody that's not in Lifeboat Jesus, and I pray that they would jump in even right now. Just tell them you're sorry for your sins. Ask him to come into your heart and follow him all the days of your life. But we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name, and everyone says,
amen.
God bless you. We'll see you soon.